Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30, and then you can discuss the things that are taught. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson, developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we're thankful for the privilege that you have given to us to handle the Word of God, to read your Word and to ingest it, Lord, into our lives and to practice those things that you instruct us in. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to assist us and help us in this. We don't have to do it in our own strength, in our own flesh. We thank you that you have supplied the helper to give us the power and the authority that we need to live the kingdom of God here on earth and do your will, even as it's done in heaven. And for that, we are in gratitude, and we say thank you. Now, guide us today as we study your word once again. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity. I thank you for every listening partner with us today. I ask your blessing and favor and grace upon their lives. We commit this time to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we've been looking at the Beatitudes, and as I was beginning preparing to get ready for the broadcast, the Lord reminded me of this that I should share with you. The Beatitudes lay out the principles of the kingdom of God. Jesus knew the Spirit would be sent to empower us to live out the kingdom of God on earth. And so all of these things, he's not telling us that we're to do this in our own strength or with our own ability. He's telling us what the order of the kingdom is. And that's why we're studying this, developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that helps us to live these truths out that we're looking at here in this portion of Scripture. We're going to continue today and looking at the area, the principle of every good tree bears good fruit. Matthew 7:16. You will know them by their fruits, Jesus said. The context of Jesus' teaching is, be aware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing. They look and sound good on the outside, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. We are to be fruit checkers. If a person claims to be an authority on some subject, it is important to examine what has been produced in their own life. Words are cheap, but godly fruit comes with a price tag. Any prophetic voice that has not been through the fire is suspect. Anyone who claims to be an apostle or has not known rejection is not being truthful. Growth must come over time. It's frustrating and painful at times as we walk through these things. Most of the time, that is, it's frustrating and painful. Have you discovered that yourself? Paul instructs, know those who labor among you in 1 Thessalonians 5:12. In the context of Matthew 7:15-23, where we're camping for a bit, Jesus uses the understanding that a tree can be either good or bad. The proof is in the fruit produced. Jesus likens himself to a vine in John 15. He makes it clear that this vine is a fruit-bearing vine. The Holy Spirit has made us a part of that vine as branches, which are to bear fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the branch bears good fruit, it is pruned, so it might bear more fruit. If the fruit is bad or the branch is fruitless, it is removed. if the branch is no longer receiving the life of the tree, it shrivels up and dies. In fact, I have one right now in the backyard that needs to be dug up because of that. Jesus declares, apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. Our life is derived from him. He is the vine and we are the branches. The Holy Spirit made the connection, and the Holy Spirit supplies the life that flows from the vine to the branches. It is the Holy Spirit who anoints us to be fruitful. I want you to hear that again. It's the Holy Spirit that connected us to the vine. Remember, Ephesians says, if we're Gentiles, we've been grafted in to the vine. And the vine is the Word of God. It's Jesus himself. We've been grafted into that covenantal Word that God gave to Israel with a view towards the future, that he would give them a new covenant. And we've been grafted into that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're Gentiles. And if we're Jewish, then the Word of God is being fulfilled in our lives as we put our faith in the Messiah, the one who came to pay the price, to fulfill the testament of God, which is no longer in the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer. Some are teaching today that has to be restarted for Jesus to return. That's not a truth. That is not truth. That's error. And why do I know it's error? Because the Bible tells us very clearly that no longer in Hebrews, it tells us no longer is the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sufficient to meet the need. Only the blood and only the body of Jesus is able to meet that need. You need to underscore that. You need to live in that. You need to understand that that's the message of the Holy Spirit coming to Jesus Christ. So I want the fruit of my life to be known as good. I want the fruit to be a product of the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask the Holy Spirit every day to make you fruitful for Jesus' sake and in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that right now. We want to bear good fruit, not bad fruit. We don't want to be a branch that has to be removed. We want to be a branch that continues to be bearing fruit. We know that there's times that you prune us, and so that we can bear more fruit. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we want to be a submitted vine, part of the vine, a submitted branch, and be useful and bring forth much fruit. And that you said that fruit would remain if it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Father, for this lesson that Jesus is giving to the disciples there on the mountain. And let's move on, folks, to Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. Wow. But Jesus says not everybody that says that is going to enter into the kingdom. Notice it says on that day. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. And so there is a day of reckoning, a day of judgment that's coming. And it'll be too late to say, Lord, Lord, on that day. But we've got to bring fruit with us. We've got to be able to have a witness that we belong to him. And it's not just simply your name written. Yes, your name has to be written, but there has to be fruit that you bring along. The fruit is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his life bearing fruit in us and through us. This is what testifies to the world that we belong to him. So let's go on and study this a little bit. Many associate the kingdom of God with Israel. Some actually teach that Jesus failed to establish the kingdom on earth because of Israel's rejection of Jesus as their Messiah. As a political entity, they rejected him. But many Jews began to believe on him, if you read the scriptures. This is a wrong understanding of God's kingdom. The kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. Many in Jesus' day called him Lord, but never submitted to him as Lord. This is what he's addressing in this scripture. It is not simply the words, but in the actions, Matthew 7:21. Jesus is speaking about the future judgment day. In that day, there will be an accounting for things said and done. On that day, Jesus says there will be those who will declare that they have done what they have done in his name, but Jesus will tell them to be gone because he never knew them. He calls them workers of iniquity, Matthew 7:23. What does that mean? Workers of iniquity. That means they were moving in a lawless spirit. They weren't sent by Jesus. They weren't called by Jesus. They were trying to do things in their own works. And that is prevalent in the church today. People that are given over to their own religious works. Whatever that might be, we could make a list if we wanted to. You know, how much they attend church and how much they work inside a church structure. But that's never going to get it accomplished. It's the fruit of the life of Jesus that matters. It's what is lived out in our life in demonstration of the kingdom of God. So Jesus is speaking about a future judgment day. So those that were with him and saw him in person that did not do what he said, but recognize that he was Lord. And in fact, when they said, Lord, Jesus said to them in one place, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? See, it's pretty significant. If we call him Lord, that means we are doing what he says to do. He is the Lord. Jesus says there will be those who will declare that they have done what they have done in his name. A lot of things, beloved, are done today in the name of Jesus, but it's not all Jesus, I got to tell you. And that's where social media becomes a real problem and television becomes a real problem, because not everything that's declared is done by Jesus. It's people do things in the name of Jesus, but that doesn't mean that the life of Christ is living out in them. And all we have to do is look at their family life, look at how they live their life with others. That's where it counts. Not on the stage, not on the platform, not as a radio broadcaster, but how do I live my life in my family? What is my reputation among people? Some people might like me because of teaching, but that doesn't get the job done. That doesn't say anything about my lifestyle. It's the people that know me that will give testimony of my lifestyle. How about you? What do people say about your life? And some people can only say that you're religious. I had a man tell me one time, a radio operator that I'd talked to from time to time, older gentleman, said to me, how come you always have to talk about religion? And I told him I'd never talk about religion. I talk about a relationship. That's what my life is about, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And my family's life, it's about a relationship. And that's what our life is to be about, a relationship, because we're part of the vine. And the vine needs to be seen in the branches of our life, the fruit of our life. It doesn't just mean people coming to Christ. That's part of it. But part of the fruit is how we live our life. Are you kind? Does the fruit of the Spirit reign and rule in you? Do people experience the nine fruits of the Spirit that Galatians 5 mentions? Do they experience that when they're with you, when they're around you? This is what Jesus is talking about here. And so this is a very, very important part of understanding to capture in this teaching. And then Jesus will tell them, be gone, because I never knew them. He calls them workers of iniquity. And again, that means lawless. They're doing it in their own strength, in their own power, whatever works they were doing, not by the power and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit working in us and through us that makes up the difference. So I just explained to you, the word iniquity means lawless. I want you to get a hold of that. And that's the way it's translated in the New American Standard Bible, is a lawless spirit. This means they did a lot of things in Jesus' name, but not by his authority. See, authority comes into play here. I've been called to live this life. And if you put your faith in Christ, you've been called to live this life. And you have authority to live the righteousness and the peace and the joy that the Holy Spirit gives. I had a man ask me one day, what gives you the right to be so happy every day in the early in the morning when I would come into work? He said that to me one day. And I said, I'm glad you asked, because I want to tell you who gives me the right. His name is Jesus. It's Jesus' life in me that gives me the right to be happy and to deal with the problems that we face on a day-by-day basis. So today, much is done in the name of the Lord, but not all is done as a directive from Him. In my own life, I have both done things that He directed through the Holy Spirit, and I have done things that turned out to be my own directive in His name. When He revealed to me my error, I quickly repented. It is so important to wait on the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to direct and lead us. Only what the Spirit does will last and be accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ. Often our human pride causes us to think, I am doing this for Jesus. Maybe we are, but if He has not directed us, it is just a good idea at best. It is good to question our motives. It is good to receive approval from godly authority and let God confirm our decisions as we wait upon Him for direction. As the old adage says, haste makes waste. The Lord is never in a hurry. Invite the Holy Spirit to be in control of all your plans. Know that as you wait upon the Lord, He will bring it to pass, as the scriptures tell us. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Psalms 37:34. Wow, what a tremendous exhortation the Lord is giving to us here in these Beatitudes. Now let's look at the next one, Matthew 7:24. Upon what foundation are you building is the question here. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. A rock represents a solid foundation, which does not move easily. Jesus teaches truth that our foundation of the kingdom He came to establish on earth. Note, Jesus says that the one who hears and acts upon His words is wise. So how do we evaluate wisdom? It's those who hear His word and act upon His word. There are many of God's people who hear the word of God regularly, but do not act on the word consistently. What good is a solid foundation if we do not build upon it? The truths contained in the Sermon on the Mount are the foundation on which the Holy Spirit builds us into Christ and His kingdom. The Holy Spirit soon has to be given to all those putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came soon. It came 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, if you remember. The Holy Spirit believer's power to transform his natural life into Christ-like life. It's through the power of the Spirit, not through our self-efforts. The foundation laid by Jesus on the Mount becomes the expected foundation of practice for each one trusting in the Lord. Power to live out the life which Jesus is teaching is realized through a daily fellowship with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. He reveals to us. Remember, it's the washing of the water of the Word that we need and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus when Nicodemus was questioning about who Jesus was. We know that you're sent from God because of the things you do. And Jesus didn't camp on that. He said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom. And Nicodemus then was confused. What do you mean? I have to go back into my mother's womb and start all over again? See, he was thinking naturally. He didn't understand the Spirit. Even though he was a Pharisee of Pharisees in many ways, he didn't understand this truth. Grace hadn't been given to him yet. And I think later on it was, because I believe Nicodemus became a follower of Jesus. The Bible indicates that he did. So, at some point in time, I believe he experienced the coming Holy Spirit, and then he had a fuller understanding. Like Paul said, he was given grace to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. But it takes the Holy Spirit to come into that grace of understanding. So listen what the scriptures tell us here, that the Holy Spirit was coming, and for those that trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, he brings to the believer power to transform his natural nature into a Christ-like nature. What does he do? He helps us get crucified, takes the natural nature and lets it get crucified. And then out of that resurrection life comes the life of Jesus. So we get to partner with Jesus in the resurrection. So the foundation that laid by Jesus on the mountain becomes the expected foundation of practice for each one trusting in the Lord. Power to live out the life which Jesus is teaching is this magnificent sermon is realized through a daily fellowship with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I repeated myself because it needed to be repeated. God reveals to us his Word. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17 tells us. Hearing God's Word produces one level of faith, which includes an expectation. Another type of hearing is when the Lord makes a scripture alive to us personally. Both types of hearing God's Word require the Holy Spirit's leading. He creates an expectation in our spirit and soul. Faith begins to develop. First in our spirit, and then in our thinking. As one hears a personal word on the mount, it requires faith. In order to obey the Sermon on the Mount, it requires faith, which produces power to live a kingdom life and testify to others what it's like to live under the government of King Jesus. In summary, hear and act. On the words of the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name to help you walk in faith of expectation and the faith of acting the words of Christ. Amen. Let that settle down in our spirit tonight, today. If it does, we'll be the better for it. And now we're going to begin to get into how are we building, on sand or on the rock. Matthew 7:24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Building is an actual ethical issue. God is a builder. From the time he spun off the universe to building a church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. If we find ourselves going through life without purpose or productivity, the Bible considers it to be unethical. The book of Proverbs speaks to two kinds of men, those that are building on solid ground, those that are carelessly drifting along. Those lives are headed for destruction. Jesus teaches it is in the hearing and acting of his word that one receives wisdom. Amen. I want to be a man of wisdom. How about you? And if you're a woman, I hope you want to be a woman of wisdom. Too many of God's people go week after week hearing God's word, but not applying what was taught. We must choose to act upon what the Bible, what biblically is taught. By not acting upon God's word, one is being unethical. In effect, one is building on sand, and this will prove to be unwise and devastating. One example is found in Christian marriages that are in trouble. Many go for counseling, but they do not act upon the word given to them. Thus, nothing changes, and many times the marriage relationship becomes worse. Oh, this is so important. The Holy Spirit is waiting for believers to act upon the Word of God. As we act upon the Word given, He, the Holy Spirit, goes into action to help us understand and apply God's Word. We're going to pick up there next week because we're really just about out of time. But this is so important, I don't want to go over it in a hurry. Beloved, I sure appreciate you being with us today. This is an awesome, awesome portion of Scripture. And again, I encourage you to read the Beatitudes again and again. And get into the book of Proverbs and read it on a daily basis and absorb the wisdom that God gives us. Now, thank you again for joining us today. If you'd like a copy of any of my books, go to our website, www.sdccm.org/shop. The order form is there. Your contribution helps with this broadcast time. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now, again, thank you for listening. And when you go to the website, remember my new book is available. It's not yet on the bottom of the website, but just ask for One New Man, One Holy Nation. Fill out the order form and we'll get the book to you. And we appreciate you listening. I hope you'll be with us next week. God bless you. Have a great week and walk with the King and be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.